flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Super Bowl is over a week away. Essentially, it's 2 weeks away. But what are the 6 things that we're already sick about this Super Bowl that we hate? By the way, Ben, let's get started.
Number 6.
I got to admit, this has mostly a Kansas City bent for me. But 6 for me is we're 60 minutes away from crybaby Vic Fangio getting a Super Bowl ring. And I felt, especially with our good friend Bobby D, we had to get crybaby Vic Fangio in here.
I got him a little bit higher. But I could not complete this assignment without a nod to crybaby Vic Fangio. At 6, I'm putting, and I've just started to pick up on it, but Lord knows there's 2 weeks before this game is played. Dom. I don't ever want to hear about Dom again and Dom being canceled and what their record was with Dom and what their record. Now they reached one Super Bowl with Dom, one Super Bowl without Dom on the sidelines. Like, I'm all Dommed out. And we're still 13 days away.
Number 5.
5 is where I put crybaby Vic Fangio made it. This guy looked like he was out in the football yonder. His defense in Miami wasn't very good. Howie Roseman threw him a lifeline, brought him back in after the Eagles collapsed last year. Now we're going to have to hear a whole lot about crybaby Vic Fangio the next 2 weeks. I'd rather not. I prefer to listen to Bobby D call him crybaby Vic Fangio.
I would. I miss Bobby D. 5 for me, I'm old enough to remember Hollywood Brown whining his way out of here and having the conversation with Lamar at the press conference where he's like, yeah, me and Hollywood are good. We talk in the car. Nothing ever came up about him having problems with the offense. Well, they sent him to Arizona, and that stunk. But now I got to hear about him possibly winning a Super Bowl. And the petty part of me does not like that.
Number 4.
2 weeks of the brilliance of Patrick Mahomes, and I've heard enough about the brilliance of Patrick Mahomes, and we're not going to get, this could be number 1, but there's some other things that I think I'm already sick of that we're going to hear about, but 2 weeks of Patrick Mahomes, that's 4 for me.
I didn't put him in here because he's such a unicorn, he's such a goat, that I couldn't put him in here.
It's the same as Tom Brady.
I like watching him make history. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment. My 4 is I've already started to get the emails. I don't know if you guys get them. This fan base is going to travel more than the other. This is ticket prices for the Super Bowl are already this higher than the street. This guy says they're going to be more. This guy says they're going to be less. This guy says more Eagles fans are going to be there than Chiefs. Darren Revelle says more Chiefs. I don't care about any of it. I don't care about other teams' fans. I don't care about the cost of the game. Like, I'm who cares? There's going to be, what, 80,000 people who go and a whole, like, another billion people who watch it on TV.
I'll give Jason a slight edge because of Big Dom. I'm so over that story.
Brace yourself.
You're seeing, like, some of him on the sideline in the NFC Championship. I was saying to my buddy, like, dude, how old is this now? Like, who cares? Who cares about this dude?
We are doing the six-pack of things we already are sick of about this Super Bowl. And Beltway Ben, let's continue.
Number three.
Did you guys know these teams played in the Super Bowl 2 years ago? Did you know that? Did you know this is a rematch?
Yeah.
It's a rematch. It's another Chiefs rematch. Do you know that they played San Francisco twice in the Super Bowl? And now they've played the Eagles twice in the Super Bowl? I'm already over the rematch storyline.
Bone, did you know that Travis Kelce dates Taylor Swift? I'm just coming upon this wild story, but guess what? We're going to hear a lot about it, and I guess because her tour is over, I would have to assume she's going to be at the game, and we're going to see her about a bazillion times during said football game.
Could he propose if they win?
Oh.
I'm sure
Does it have to be a win?
Yeah, that's true.
Number two.
Along those lines, Bone, are you aware that Travis Kelce had a brother that used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles, and now he's in the media? And man, oh man, we aren't going to hear enough about that over the next 2 weeks.
This is going to be a little redundant. My two is the Kelce Swift / who else is in the box / Taylor Swift, Blake Lively. Are they still frenemies now because she's in some sort of lawsuit with a former guy she was in a movie with?
Will she bring Ice Spice with her again?
Right. Will Ice Spice be there? Will Caitlin Clark be there? The whole Kelce Swift and Swift's whatever circle of trust. I'm already over it.
Number one.
I put the Kelce brothers at one. Like, first of all, Kelce's acting like a punk on the field, the one who's still playing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my God, his brother is everywhere. Like, how can we... He was an offensive lineman. How is he inescapable? Yeah. And the fact that, yes, he played for the Eagles, and the last time these teams played, they played against each other. And now we get to watch one Kelce interview the other Kelce while Mama Kelce listens. Like,
and make soup.
Is, you know, we got Kelce shoving his coach a year ago, and no, that seemingly like it never happened. He's still America's good guy. He's also taunting people in the end zone in that game and getting away with it, and nobody would ever throw a flag on Kelce at Arrowhead. And then we've got the specter of his brother and his brother's wife, who are everywhere. They're just ubiquitous with football, with television. I can't escape them. They're on commercials. They allegedly have a 1 a.m. TV show. I don't know who's watching that, but I'm sick of hearing about
it. I'm asleep. But the wife is everywhere, too. That is interesting. Met on Tinder, by the way.
Really?
Yes, they did. They're very open
There's
about
hope,
that.
Bone.
There's hope, Bone.
I guess.
I don't know if you're aware of this, Bone, but the Chiefs are going for the first three-peat in Super Bowl history. Now, the Packers won the last NFL championship and then the first two Super Bowls, but no team in the Super Bowl era has three-peated, and they're going for that.
That's a big W for the Ginger Gorilla.
Hey, you guys' top three was set. Everyone hates winners, and the Chiefs fatigue is definitely real for me, I feel like, at this point. But that being said, I don't want to root for the Eagles either. I'm in such a tough situation where I just, all right, give me a good game and we'll move on to next year.
It's weird for me because, full disclosure, when the Colts moved, I was an Eagles fan. I went to school, prep school up there, but that was the Randall Cunningham, Reggie White. Like, they were fun, but they never won. But then the Ravens came back to town, and now I just find I find them a bit obnoxious.
Yeah, I find the Eagles
obnoxious.
But you
obnoxious. Don't think...
They're fans. I hate Sirianni.
The Chiefs part of this, though, like...
It's unbelievable.
How do you not respect what
they're doing? Oh, I respect
doing?
It. I can still hate it.
Yeah.
I respect it.
But, like, it's hard to be sick of it because...
That's a you problem, not a me problem. It's easy for me to be sick of it.
But we went from something that was supposed to be
impossible. Sick of that, too.
Right. Yes. That was supposed to be impossible. And this guy is out Brady-ing Brady.
And it's
Let me ask you this. Were you sick of the Patriots?
Not really.
No? Okay.
I was infatuated to see how far it would go. Yeah. And then when he left, who's going to be the winner, Belichick or Brady? We know how that went.
So do you just like dynasties across sports?
I mean, I'm not like a Dynasty guy, but if...
Do you like the show?
But if something... No, I did not like... I was more of a Falcon Crest guy. I was neither. I was a Knight Rider guy. Like, if you're going to... If somebody's going to be around a fair amount, right? Like, if somebody's going to be a quasi-dynasty or they're going to pop up in the Super Bowl every 2 or 3 years, I'd just assume it'd be this, something I've never seen before. So it's like, well, at least they're just, like, they're not the Buffalo Bills and they lost 4 in a row. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're doing stuff that, and that was obviously, no one's ever going to do that again either, but you don't get remembered for that. Like, who's going to be in the cast next year? Like, I'm old enough to remember when the biggest knock on Andy Reid was he's a choker in the playoffs.
Yeah.
How's that looking now? Like, will Mahomes ever have a bad playoff game? Like, I mean, I'm literally fascinated by this thing that keeps happening that's supposed to be impossible. You are not supposed to win 17 of 20 playoff games. You're not. It's not supposed to happen.
And that's all fair. But I think there are a lot of people that are already sick of it. And I like, it's funny, dynasties for me, and I respect them. Like, I respect watching what New England did, and I still hated it. I respected the fact that it was the Celtics and Lakers every year of the 80s, it seemed like, but I hated both of them. The only likable dynasty for me, just thinking about off the top of my head, were the Golden State Warriors. Like, I liked Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. I like that, but the rest of it, I hate it. Like, I respect it. But I hate it, and I think it's probably jealousy. Like the Yankees, when they won 4 in 5 years, I hated it.
It's also, you almost kind of need it in sports, though, to have that villain.
Sure.
Because that's what makes sports fun, is rooting against that type of thing.
And to your point, when we're doing the six-pack, the Travis Kelce of it all, when he speaks, and he talks about how everybody disrespects them, is like, where's he getting that?
Stop.
He gets paid like $12 million for his podcast to sit there and ramble? Like, who's rooting against you? You're everywhere. You're in every commercial. You're, like, you people can't escape you. Your girlfriend is on TV more than most Chiefs players during games. Like, who? Like, see, I'm kind of, like, I'm over him.
Yeah.
But, like, and I've been over Mahomes' wife for a long time and Mahomes' brother, but you don't hear about him anymore.
Yeah, he's disappeared.
But Mahomes himself, like, I have a hard time disliking
Patrick Mahomes.
Him.
Do you
I
remember,
like Patrick
so Mahomes. You'd get this reference. Do you remember when Happy Days first started and there was another brother and he kind of disappeared?
Yeah.
Did they do that to Mahomes' brother?
I hope.
Like, did he? They wrote him off the show.
I don't know if he got, like, parole or he had to do community service. Like,
he
was in legal trouble.
Yes.
For something he allegedly did to a waitress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, it's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
This has been brewing for a little bit. Jerry Jones, the Cowboys. I'm over it. They had the introductory press conference for Brian Schottenheimer yesterday, and Jerry continued to say stupid things. Screw the Cowboys. Next.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
I'm finding out the older that I get, the more I hate the Cowboys. And I hate Jerry Jones because they just everything.
Hate's
about,
a strong word, Bo.
I mean it, though. I mean it, Jason. And I don't have much hate in my heart.
No.
I have so much
You're
love
a lover, not a hater.
In my heart. But I'm just tired of the Cowboys year after year being shoved down your throat when they are literally a poverty franchise. They suck. They haven't done anything for 30 years. And now the clown show continues when Jerry Jones ends up hiring Brian Schottenheimer. And here's a snippet of the press conference yesterday.
Now, I get my proverbial ass kicked over needing people in my comfort zone. Without this thing being about me in any way, if you don't think I can't operate out of my comfort zone, you're so wrong. It's unbelievable. This is as big a risk as you could take. As big a risk as you could take. No head coaching experience. Now let me share something with you.
He's bragging about it. Where Brian Schottenheimer, no one even considered him a candidate on anyone's radar for any of these job openings. You have the petty situation of handling Mike McCarthy in the end of his contract, and you somehow think that Brian Schottenheimer, who has as much head coaching experience as all of us in this room combined at the NFL level, is an upgrade. He didn't even call plays for the Cowboys the past couple of years. And then Jerry Jones, he said that he doesn't care about the fans' opinion and used a very interesting choice of words.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes.
Oh, I don't know what he was going for there, but I just thought we needed to.
Maybe
play
that means something different in Dallas.
That's not AI, by the way.
No, he really said that. I saw that
Jones
on social media last night. Yeah,
that is Jerry Jones. Brian Schottenheimer's offenses, and he bragged about all the experience that he has.
You could Google some stuff.
Years.
It would probably, I mean.
Yeah, by the way, if you're listening, don't Google that.
No, I mean, Jerry, you could Google Jerry Jones, Cowboys bus.
Yeah. White House.
Bathroom.
Brian Schottenheimer's offenses.
Lawsuit, paternity lawsuit.
On average, 17th in scoring and 21st in yards in all of his years. He's finished in the bottom 10 of the league in yards more times than he's finished in the top half of the league in yards.
What's your point, Bone?
He hasn't been given serious consideration for a head coaching gig in well over a decade. Then here's Stephen Jones responding to the lack of appearances, any appearances, in the NFC Championship.
Obviously, we're also evaluating where it didn't go right, you know, in terms of, you know, this drought that people say we're in terms of a championship game or a Super Bowl. And
you can't see because it's right. He was using air quotes.
They haven't been to the NFC drought that people say we're in. I mean, are we in alternative facts?
It's fact.
Bro, there's standings. It's kept for, it's acknowledged fact.
Since 1996.
They haven't been to a championship game since 95. Yeah.
Since 1996, the Cowboys are 5-13 in the playoffs. They have 5 wins in the playoffs in 28 years. The Cowboys are the only team in the NFC that has not made the NFC Championship since 2010. They haven't done it since 95. Since 2010 in the NFC and all of those.
Because Washington just got there. Because they would have been in that category.
They were in 1991.
And Detroit last year. Right.
The only two teams that have longer droughts, the air quotes that Stephen Jones used, are the Dolphins and the Browns. That's it.
Yeah.
That is the list of teams that have longer droughts than the Cowboys. But despite
you could say the Chiefs, I'm using air quotes, went to 5 Super Bowls in 6 years.
Yeah.
But I'm just not so sure about that.
They might be good.
But despite that, Jerry's got it all figured out. Jerry knows what's going on. The Cowboys are going to have 6 primetime games next year and probably another 6 games in which they're in the 425 national TV window. Like, people care. And they're Jason, you know this from following on. They're always inflated odds for the Cowboys, whether it's wins, whether it's single season totals. They're always. Why? They're one of the worst organizations in the NFL.
We use this term a lot. but the Cowboys are an unserious franchise.
Yeah.
Like, Jerry Jones said last year they were all in, and they did nothing last offseason. Like, nothing. And they waited till the last minute.
Derrick Henry wanted to play for them, and they didn't want to pay him.
Yeah.
A two-year contract he didn't want to. The Cowboys are, according to Forbes, the most valuable sports team in the world at $10.1 billion. And they just hired Brian freaking
Schottenheimer. Do you think he could sell that team for $10 billion?
I don't know,
but I guess it's this everything.
Do you think he could sell that team for $10 billion?
This is Forbes.
Didn't the team just sell for six?
10 and 6 is $4 billion.
But it's the Cowboys.
I mean, 10 and 6.
It's the Cowboys.
It's not like 10 candy bars or 6 candy bars.
I hear you, but like we didn't think 6 was possible like 5 minutes ago.
10?
Like, it's the Cowboys. There's a brand there. There's a brand.
At what point are they not America's? They're no one's team. Dude, they're a terrible team.
He should eliminate the middleman and just coach the team. I'd watch every game. I would get the Sunday ticket just for that. Like, you want to make me care about the Cowboys, be interested in the Cowboys? Let this crazy old man coach the team.
And the other part of this is,
that would be my glory hole.
He would never, very nice, he would never have Jerry brought Jones in Deion Sanders because Deion Sanders would take his shine away. No GM
That's
in the NFL.
That's why I never bought it.
Yeah, no GM in the league talks every week, but that guy,
but
he's
they
the
would
owner.
Be, could you imagine him and Deion at that press conference when everybody gets out to Oxnard, California? Might go 3 hours.
Yeah.
It would have been great.
But Deion would take his shine. Like, nobody's going
to
want
to
hear from...
Dude, but he'd be able to sell Deion jerseys. He would be able to market.
But could his ego handle the fact...
I dare him try to sell a shot. Try to get a Schottenheimer bobblehead. They would storm... They would smash him. They would wait for those to be delivered off a truck and smash them with baseball bats.
Could you imagine? Because Jerry wants to talk after every game. If Deion was the head coach, everybody's waiting to hear from Deion.
There'd be enough microphones for both of them.
Yeah, but I don't think he'd get the shine he's used to getting.
And the glory hole.
I would say never say never to that one.
You think Deion next year?
How long do you think the Schottenheimer thing's going
to
last?
Well, he doesn't like firing people. That's the problem.
He doesn't like firing people. He's paying real money to. He might not even giving this guy a raise.
Yeah. By the way, the reporting that he just completely lowballed Mike McCarthy and assumed he was going to take the deal. And then when McCarthy said no, he didn't know what else to do. Yeah. So he's like, okay, Brian.
Yeah, just take somebody who's already here and give him a little bump.
Yeah. Make it easy.
Man, what a clown show. Hey, you owe me a beverage. Ah, man, reminds me of something closer to home. Anyway, coming up next, Rita Hubbard. What's she think of the championship games? Will she watch the Super Bowl? How close are the Ravens?
Really saying they're boycotting the Super Bowl? Yeah. That's like the third time you've mentioned that.
Yeah,
People have said that. Where?
We're sick of the Chiefs. I've seen it on social media.
They're going to watch the game.
I'm gonna watch it. Yeah, Rita Hubbard next here
Fried
on Fan.
Gobble.
The Super Bowl is set. It's the Chiefs and the Eagles a week from Sunday. Let's talk some football now with our friend who joins us every Tuesday. We head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline where Rita Hubbard joins us. So, Rita, are you fired up for Eagles Chiefs?
Uh oh.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
You got it. Are you fired up for Eagles Chiefs?
I'm not.
That's the better question.
No.
Okay. So we've been here and done that before, right? And I think that it was ideal that we knew that this is what the matchup was going to be. So I prepared myself. I mean, we sit there and argue about MVPs. Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes is still racking up AFC championships. So maybe we're just arguing about the wrong things at this point. Maybe we should argue about something else because I'm literally tired of the Kansas City Chiefs. And unfortunately, there's nothing, it seems, that anyone outside of the Cincinnati Bengals can do about it.
Rita, that's sort of what we opened the show with today. We know that this Ravens roster has been really good these past couple of years. Lamar Jackson's been incredible, but they haven't gotten over the Chiefs hump. How far away are they from the Chiefs in your eyes?
I think that they're probably is the same far away as what the Buffalo Bills did last week. I mean, from a talent perspective, I absolutely think it's there. It's about the execution or lack thereof, right? And I think that that's always been the difference between the Ravens and the Chiefs. I don't ever think that the Chiefs were like God-worldly better than the Ravens. And when you start looking at how those games ended and, you know, how many points differential there was. It's not like that they were, you know, beating them badly. They were all close games. So to me, what it boils down to is, what are y'all not doing on the field that's getting you to this point? And that's something that I think that the Ravens have to really work on, figuring out what it is that they need to do to make sure that they execute more than they've done in years past. Because based on the roster as of today, because we know it can change in 2025, they absolutely were in position to challenge the Kansas City Chiefs. The problem is that execution, or lack thereof, got in their own way against the Bills, and it didn't allow them to get to the next game. So they just kind of figured that part out, and they'll be good, in my opinion.
So how much do you think needs to change about maybe their processes or their the way they do business? It sounds like it's going to be another tepid offseason. Is that good enough? They've kind of punted on the last few trade deadlines. Is that good enough? They fired an inside linebackers coach, but two out of the last 3 years, their secondary has been a mess for the first 8, 9, 10 games. Is that enough?
I think that the current roster construct in terms of impact players is enough to compete, but you should not be okay with it being enough. You really could add a disruptor up front, another pass rusher. And that is no disrespect to Kyle Van Noy, because I think that he has over excelled, yes, and done better than what we thought. But he could absolutely use a guy that complements him well on a consistent basis. Look, shout out to Odafe Owe. I'm not taking anything away from him either. I'm just saying that there's not a guy that, in my opinion, that offenses really fear are going to be disruptive on, like, essentially every snap when it comes to the Ravens. And I do think that that's something that they need to look into. And, yes, you do need to get another safety. Clearly, Marcus Williams is not going to be here, next year. So you're going to have to figure out, what are you going to do in that regard? And potentially add another cornerback as well, because I have to assume Brandon Stevens is going to probably find another home elsewhere. So is it good enough to answer your question? I mean, yeah, but why are you okay with it just being good enough? I'm not suggesting that you go out and get Max Crosby, but what I am suggesting is that you add talent to a core group of guys that are already good, so then you can make them better, so then that way you can compete against the Kansas City Chiefs moving forward.
Talking to Rita Hubbard's Inside Access here on The Fan. What was good, more than good enough, was Todd Monken, his offensive coordinator, and it looks like he's going to be back, getting an extension. What do you expect year three in the Monken offense?
First and foremost, y'all, this is unprecedented times for the Ravens. Not only do we experience a high-powered offense, we get to actually like an offensive coordinator in this town for the most part. So shout out to Todd Monken for actually making people like him, because this is a rough town when it comes to offense and offensive coordinators, because we've been through a lot in these 25-plus years in Ravens fandom or Ravens Ravens coverage or whatever. But I love that he's able to come back. I was a little concerned about, like, how much, you know, he'll get in the offseason in terms of interviewing. But I also feel like when you get to a certain age, do you really feel, unless you are a guy like a Pete Carroll that has a history of winning that, you know, championships, do you really want to bring in an older guy? And it feels like for newer coaches, they want to kind of go younger. So it started to feel like he was going to stay in Baltimore, and I absolutely think that he deserves to be here. That being said, I just expect them to open it up a little bit more. It's going to be fun, and I would love to see them add a solid number three wide receiver. So when you have situations like Zay going down, we don't look at it like, oh, it's the end of the world. We don't, you know, Rashad Bateman needs some help or whatever. But I have no complaints about what Monken has done. Do I think that sometimes they get away from running the football? Absolutely. And I'm sure he realizes that too. And hopefully next year they'll get better with that. But what I think I like about Monken, it does feel like he learns his lessons from the year before and that he tends to change them the following year, it appears. So I'd like to think that moving forward they'll have a little bit more success with running the football, not putting Derrick Henry, because we ain't never seen a man in 2-point conversion attempts. I don't know why. I can't understand it. But maybe next year we'll start to see more of that and more of him inside the red zone as well, which should be fun.
There aren't a ton of holes on this Ravens roster heading into the offseason, but one position we're going to look at more tomorrow is inside linebacker. What do you think the Ravens do there? Would you run it back with Trenton Simpson? Are you bringing in a veteran, a draft pick? What do you think happens alongside Roquan Smith?
I mean, Trenton Simpson is a guy that, I mean, obviously you could probably keep him on your roster because it's not hurting you to stay there financially. And so, you know, from a depth perspective, you can, but you absolutely need to start looking elsewhere, whether it be in the draft or whether it be in free agency, because at some point Trenton Simpson lost his job and we started to see more Malik Harrison. So that tells you that, you know, at first he was coming on strong, but I don't know if he was missing some assignments or, you know, missing or slipping in coverage. But apparently he was doing something that they didn't like. And so while you want a guy like that because you do see the potential, until he shows you that he's ready for being next to Roquan on a regular basis, you have to find somebody that can do it now. Because you're in a position as the Ravens, you're poised to win now. And what we all know is that windows close regularly. Now, what doesn't close as long as Lamar Jackson is on your team and healthy, but it does close in the sense of, you know, look at the Bengals, for example, last year. One of the best offenses in the league, and they didn't even make the playoffs because their defense was so bad. So you don't want to go on that trend of simply relying on your offense to win you football games. I definitely think that that's something that they need to look into, whether it's free agency or whether it's via draft.
Rita, new owners came here and took over, and they're legit billionaires, and they bought the Magna Carta, and they talked about, don't judge us on opening days, judge us on Octobers, and we want to be great. And then a year later, this guy's in Davos, Switzerland, surrounded by the richest people on the planet, bitching about no salary cap in baseball, which didn't exist when he bought the team, and saying, yeah, I think we'll be probably pretty good this year. And he's never done a damn thing that cost him any money beyond this year. And he got $600 million of our money and a sweetheart lease on the way in. What happened?
Well, I want to know. Somebody call him. Don't y'all have Uncle Ruby's number? Call him and tell him to do an exclusive interview with Inside Access so that we can find out.
I think he prefers Yahoo Finance, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
we might ask tough questions.
You're right. I'm confused. And I'm not suggesting, look, we understand this is like, you know, it's very new, right? Well, how long are we supposed to wait? Don't come in here complaining about no salary cap. You knew it wasn't salary cap when you bought this thing. And you went on ahead and did it anyway. And you had the money. It ain't even like you don't have any money. You are loaded with cash, bro. We don't want to hear that salary cap crap. We don't want to hear. And it's not even about this. Somebody said something, y'all, and it resonated with me. And somebody said, well, y'all will sit there and complain about what the Dodgers are doing, but what you really need to be doing is complaining about what your teams aren't doing.
Exactly.
And I was like, you know what? That person has a valid point. The Dodgers said they want to repeat, and they are committed to repeating. Now, I know that they're doing all that deferred money and stuff and, you know, all of that other stuff that people don't like, but guess what? They don't care. They are committed to winning multiple championships. What is it that everybody else is doing? And that's the problem that I have. Y'all are selling us pipe dreams. Oh, this team is young and they're great and all this other stuff. And then we're going to be sitting in September. They're going to be competitive. We know that. But do we really think that this team right now, as the construct of the current roster, is good enough to compete in October? I don't. I've already told myself I'm going to be disappointed, and that's where I'm going to be at.
Rita, you and Glenn tonight?
Me and Glenn tonight. We have book club tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to be able to get through one segment. That documentary is insane, Ken.
Thank Jason. Jason turned me on to it.
This is the most bonkers thing of all the bonkers things I've seen.
Kings of Tupelo, Jason, is what it's called.
Yeah. This is I don't even know how we can cover this in 15
It's crazy.
Minutes. I don't know how this is possible because it's too much going. It's like five stories in one. It's insane.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm excited.
It knocked me off my axis. I felt like I was punched in the head. I'm like, how did I miss this? And then I'm like, how is this all new to me? How did I miss this entire era in conspiracy theory / assassination attempts?
I did not know that that happened. Like, none of that. I didn't even know that that was like a story. So this was all new to me. I don't even recall that happening. So I am excited to talk about it because this was like new. I had never heard this story before prior to this documentary. So I was absolutely intrigued from the beginning to the end.
Don't forget your snacks.
Glenn got snacks for me today because I couldn't do it. So I'm going to get it next time.
All right, we'll see.
But listen, I made up for it. I see. I made sure we had snacks.
That's true. That's true. Well, we will see you at 6, snack free.
All right, guys.
See you. Bye. Coming up next, Northern Exposure. Art Rooney had a press conference. What did he have to say about his Pittsburgh Steelers? You'll hear next year on The Fan.
Well, certainly that last stretch of the season was tough to swallow and leaves a sour taste in everybody's mouth, for sure, especially after, you know, the start we had. You know, it just goes to show us, you know, the work we need to do and, you know, things we need to look hard at. I think starting with the quarterback position, it's going to be a key piece of the puzzle going forward here. And so, you know, we've just got to roll our sleeves up and stay committed and get about the work we need to do.
So that's Art Rooney talking about the Steelers and not making any noise in the playoffs. They have not won a playoff game since the final days of the Obama administration. So it's been a minute, and he says they got to roll up their sleeves and get some work done. Jason, this is not an organization that seems to do anything rash. And it also, and we'll get to some of it, it seems like they're going to want to bring back one of these quarterbacks. Like, where are you on what this team's going to do this offseason?
I think in hindsight, getting a longer look at Justin Fields would have been prudent. I think Russ Wilson has a body of work now for the last 3 years that is showing you he's not the same guy second half of a season or once he gets beyond 5, 6, 7 starts, the wheels start to fall off. I don't think that's going to change. And I think there is still untapped upside for Justin Fields, but excuse me, he lost his job, 6 games in?
Yep.
And never got it back and barely played in large part due to injuries. So, look, they're not bringing Aaron Rodgers to town. They're not bringing the circus to town, I can tell you that. They're not going to overpay for Sam Darnold. And so you look at the rest of this class, they're not trading for Kirk Cousins, who looks as cooked as Russ Wilson.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be one of these two. Do they want somebody younger, a little more athletic, a little bit more durable, who isn't going to throw the deep ball maybe quite as well, but can do a lot of other things athletically that Russ can't do? I mean... They like both guys as people. They like both guys as quarterbacks, and they're stuck in the middle. So they're not. They're like the idea of them upgrading at quarterback. I get it in theory. I have a hard time seeing it in practice unless some other team, sours on a quarter. Like unless Harbaugh's like, I don't think Herbert's worth $50 million a year. Like it would be. You know what I mean? Like you could call him up and say, hey, man. You know, you seem to just want cogs on offense, and you went to a Super Bowl with Kaepernick, and so, like, do you need this guy? Like, do you want to trade him? Do you want to spend your money elsewhere? But, I mean, short of something crazy like that, there's no viable road to them doing much better than Fields or Russ, and for me, if I'm them, I'd prefer the guy with upside than Russ.
Well, a name you brought up last week, and not that it's even a ton higher than either of those two guys, is Malik Willis. Where if you bring back one of those two guys, you trade to acquire Malik Willis. I mean, you got to do something.
But I mean, like, if I'm Green Bay, I'm not giving away Malik Willis.
No, of course.
You've made something of him. You want to hear, before we step out, Art Rooney, here he is talking about their plans at quarterback.
I think we saw enough out of both Russell and Justin to think that we'd like to have at least one of them back. Probably unlikely to have them both back, but I think we had enough success with both of them at different stretches during the season. That would be our first choice, is to have one of them back. But at the same time, you know, we have to look at the draft. We have to look at what else is out there. It's, you know, we have more than one job opening in the quarterback room, and we've got to bring in some people to help us.
Steelers fans getting excited just hearing Art Rooney talking about bringing one, unlikely both, though, but one back.
Well, look, what they've got to figure out is the quarterback situation is what it is. They need that defense to play with bite and tenacity. That defense had a lot of the same issues that we talked about with the Ravens when it came to competing with the best teams in the league. Not enough sacks, not enough explosive plays, not enough turnovers, right? You had Minka Fitzpatrick seemingly fall out of favor. You had Watt hurt, ineffective, whatever it was. He wasn't the same. Herbig looked good when he first came back from IR, and then his productivity waned. You know, Patrick Queen, there was a stretch where they were getting what they wanted out of him, and then as this thing started to fall apart as an inside linebacker, he had to wear some of that. Highsmith still seems to be kind of up and down. And they got a lot out of Cam Hayward, but there's a lot of tread on those tires. Mm-hmm. So I think they've got to, and they've been really good drafting on that side of the ball, and they've had that defense the first half of the year looked like it was one of the best in the NFL. Yeah. So I think that's where they got to figure out. The offense is going to be more on the tepid side next year, but no matter what they do.
But Jason, you got to do something at the receiver position.
You have to do that too.
And they tried like hell last year, and they kept flirting with Brandon Ayuk and never ended up taking him home. But they need to do something at the receiver position.
And is George Pickens back next year?
That is another big question.
I could see them coming away with one of the Seattle wide receivers.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, interesting.
And it ain't going to be Smith and Jigba.
No, it will not. No. It will not.
And they'd probably like for it in Seattle to be Lockett, but I think Metcalf's the guy who could be dope.
Coming up next, we hit the hot corner, and are the Orioles running it back with platoons in the outfield? Is that what we're doing here? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.